no one was taking any aggressive leadership role. It was a problem. And it needed to be, you know. Trying to think of something new. What is that one that's so good? Where is it? There it is.
Oh. that high.
Okay, you may be seated. And we need to quickly get through these pieces of music. Now, do we only have one left? In myself, I can do nothing. Right? Isn't that the one that's left today? Right? Excuse me?
I don't think we did I choose to believe.
Yeah, we did. Did we not do the bass line? We didn't do I choose to believe. What we did is the other one, I am clean. That's what we did. Okay, start within myself then. Got two more to go. Straight rhythm. If it's two quarter notes, then it would be a straight rhythm. Right? So not being two quarter notes, then obviously the thing you definitely do not sing is a straight rhythm, right?
Right.
So you eliminate that. By process of elimination, possibly you'll come to the correct rhythm. Take it again. I had a soprano screaming in the higher regions. One, two, three, four, one, two. I make mistakes a lot of times when there's four notes simultaneously going by. Okay, try it again. One, two, three, four, one, two. Four, one. Sing me a melody. One, two, three, four, one, two. Now, sopranos, I do not know what your problem is this morning, but you are sagging almost over an eighth tone flat. Your pitch center is way flat, and you're dragging everybody else down. Please listen carefully and stay on the pitch center by concentrating. Even if you're tired, stay on the pitch center. One, two. First note is 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
In myself, I can do nothing. In myself, I am so weak. But I have this blessed promise.
Now I'd figure that out, but I was just wondering how the ladies would do trying to read that. Did pretty good, I guess. Okay, now everybody can read the alto line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Very good. Are you struggling over there with the alto part? Did you get it, gentlemen? You got it? You sort of got it. You got it? We had a wavering moment. So the tenor part. Got it? Final? 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Ledgerlinitis over there. What's going on? Now, what's the note on self? Is it? You ladies know that it's F? Right. What's the note on I? What? E flat. What is the distance between F and E? It's minor 7. E flat. You know how you know a minor 7? The little boat of Jesus. Quit laughing. Now, that's a hard interval to hear. Try it again. Tenor part from the top. No ledgerlinitis. 1, 2, 3. That's inflammation of the ledger line. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
Thank you.
You claim sopranohood, sing soprano notes. It's like a bass. Try not to sing down in the bass range. If you're soprano, sing when sopranos sing. Don't be always wanting to sing the alto range all the time. Okay, take it again. Soprano or tenor line. Everybody. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2. Guessing. You're not reading. Start with in my 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2.
In my God, I can do anything.
Let me hear the sopranos ooh, the altos and tenors singing their parts. Sopranos oohing, the alto and tenor singing the word. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2. Shut the low side of the pitch. Other than that, you stayed in key. And to concentrate. That's good. Okay, take out, then I choose to leave. Now this has really fun parts. Except that the bass part is real boring. We will attempt to sight sing it. Yes, sir?
In the third line, first measure, first clef, is there one eighth note too many there?
Where?
The third line, the first measure, bass clef, is the, well, actually both clefs. Is there one eighth?
No, there's an art department error. Faye, you should come back to work for us. There is an art department error. Can you guess what's missing? The triplet. The second to the last eighth note in the measure, which includes F sharp, D sharp, B and F sharp, should over it have a little italics 3 with a broken slur going to either eighth note on either side of it. If you notice, there is one in the second line, second measure. That's what it should look like. And the third beat of the first measure, third line. Those are triplets. That is an art department error.
In other words, the last three eighth notes
are a triplet. Now this has, that particular rhythm is rather difficult to read, but it's quite simple to sing. I found a typist error, interestingly enough, in the next measure. Can you see it? It's a type, actually our infamous typewriter looks like it hurt itself. Got bumped. What happened, if you notice in the second measure of the third line, the second note in the tenor looks like it goes up, right? It doesn't. It's the same note. It just happens to be up a click on the typesetting machine. Same with the third note. So those are still C sharp. So you may want to fatten them up and lower them down where they belong so you don't get mixed up. See why you need to pray for us every day? We will sight sing. Four part. Soprano, alto, tenor, basso. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3. That's all right. Take the melody first, which includes the bass and the tenor. Excuse me, bass and the soprano. Bass and soprano, so all parts singing melody. 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
Thank you.
getting the figure better, but you've got to emphasize it down here. Nothing shall be impossible with God. Won't do it. God will do it. Okay? Take the alto line, everybody. One, two, three, one, ready, sing. Everybody sing the tenor line. One. Ready? One, two, three. You got it. I missed it. Again, top, and it is top. One, two, sore? Now, first measure, the second line, is only one measure, not two. The next measure is a whole pickup to the second half of the song. Okay? Top. Tenors, please. One, two, three. Tenors, you're coming on one, which follows three. One, two, three.
Impossible with God. yourselves. 1, 2, 3. Grabbing on your throat. Sit up straight and sing.
I open up.
That is not a high note. This is not a high part. It's not that difficult. You sing a whole third, minor third above that frequently. And you're just grabbing on your throat and somehow you're going to die and you're going to go out of here needing a cough drop. So open up your throat and sing nice, rich, and round. 1, 2, 3.
I choose to.
It goes back up to D. Notice you have the D right back where you left. You can't miss. 80% of this piece is D for the tenor section. Sir?
On the last measure, third line, we leave, there is a... Do we sing?
You sing, yes. The melody line.
Yeah, I feel like we sing the same. We sing just one quarter note for D.
Right. You could be doing that. That is incorrect. You should sing the melody with the basses. Choose to be, like that. This is, incidentally, eighths aren't eighths in this piece of music. You want to know how you know that? Let me tell you how you know that. Let me tell you how you know that. The top of the piece in italics, it says gospel style, which is a code word, meaning this is really a 9/8 time, not 3/4 time. It's played and sung in 9/8 time, not in 3/4 time. Why we wrote it in 3/4 time, I will never know. Which means the first eighth note on the third beat is longer than the second eighth note. Because in 9/8 time, it would be a quarter and an eighth. In 3/4 time, it should be a quarter eighth triplet. But all of that is much too difficult to read, so we put it in this and then just say stretch the rhythm so it fits right. So it should be, choose to be, believe, like that, tenors. Take it from the top, tenors. 1, 2, 3. That second eighth movement. Turn on God again. 1, 2, 3. Three part then from the top. Tenors, get it correct, please. 1, 2, 3. Now, tenors, you're incorrect because you're already on the pitch. Okay? Right side of the pitch, 1, 2, 3. Same thing with basses added, okay? Maybe I'm mumbling. 1, 2, 3.
Nuh-uh. The breath is after God, obviously. Cross-eyed phrase. You're hearing what? Were they having a dotted half note? Why would they be singing a moving part? Pray tell. Any of you sopranos have an answer for that? Let me hear the sopranos by themselves. One, two, three. Oh, you didn't have a moving part that time. Are you inventing? Anything? Nobody's inventing, right? It's possible to sing like, I choose to believe. Because we start inventing. Only Mary Ellen has license to invent. Once we become a choral setting, inventing becomes minimal, though never totally gone. Not in this outfit. Inventing is just common, I'm afraid. Okay. Well, now we've been through four pieces of music, and you know them very well, right? And if you're tested on them, you'll be able to sing your part perfectly. Well, then I suggest that we come into that position that we're able to sing our parts perfectly. Yes? Sandy, did you do that? Did I forget to give them to you? Well, that's the problem of having the music files and the Bible college files separated. Okay, they are. Well, you know what they are. Can you both need that one? Okay, well, it's somewhere up there. Make myself a note. It's file 267. Yes. How many? We need two copies of I Am Clean, right? And then we need one copy of In Myself. Okay, those will get to the library eventually, if not later. Okay? Try to get those today. We'll give it the college try and I'll get it down there. Okay. Let's talk a little bit about today then. Preaching.
Music.
Musical preaching. Now, when you're working with a small ensemble in a church someplace or a fellowship,
excuse me, you should get your sleep
so that you can effectively teach. Put that down. I beg your pardon. When you're working with them, you do have lots of technical things to work on, and that's true. Just like we have had to do in this class. And we've taken the time to read through, what, 9 pieces of music so far. 9 or 10. A number. We read through each, but everybody's part. Everybody gets to read. Everybody gets to practice reading. And that's good. And those of you who know these pieces of music would be bored if we didn't do that. Most of you, many of you at least, know these pieces of music, even know your part. But getting practice, reading other parts, is good. And so if you use this method,
persons who in your ensemble who are better musicians who can read very quickly are not near as bored. And that's good, if they have the challenge to read all the parts and to extend their range, and, you know, that's good for them, and that's fine. Plus, it helps them to hear the whole ensemble and that sort of thing, and they can pick out the alto part over there, and they can hear them, and they appreciate it more if they happen to have sung it once or twice. That's a good method. So, for those of you who are grads and repeats and defeats and that sort of thing, I recognize that some of this class may move a bit slowly for you, but I hope that you're understanding what we're trying to do. We're trying to teach you how to build an ensemble. But in the process, we really ought to build one here, don't you know? So we may have to work the technical area a bit. But I said all that to say this. There is much technical work to do. And you, in the process of seeing the gigantic load of technical, usually there is two reactions. One is total hopelessness, and you just don't want to do anything. And that can happen. It can really happen. You think, oh, there's so much to do, they'll never sing right. You know, da-da-da-da-da. And it can happen. It can happen to you. And you can begin to look, in the face of discouragement, for an easy way out. Like, maybe you should teach in the Christian school or something else. But there is no easy way out besides getting down and shoveling the dirt out of the ditch. If you want to make a ditch, you got to, and you don't own a backhoe, you got to just start shoveling. And the same thing applies if you have an ensemble and they're not very good, you got to start working the problems. That's true. You couldn't have a question because I haven't made a point yet. So I will continue. And so your first reaction might be discouragement, and we hope not, but if it is, don't condemn yourself too badly because it's normal. It's quite normal. It can be painfully normal. And I'm not suggesting I get discouraged with music ministry on a regular basis. I have been discouraged on an occasional basis. And that's a pretty obnoxious admission on my part. But sometimes it looks like, will we ever learn? Will we ever get it? But now, all these years, I can't say they've been worth it. Because I don't think we had to take quite as many as we've taken. But we're through a lot now, and we're going on. So, you know, those bleak hours of discouragement are fading. And a lot of times, what can happen, and I don't say this a lot from personal experience, but I think a little bit, is that you can begin to question yourself as a decent leader when they're not getting it. And it is good to do a little self-evaluation from time to time. It is good. It is good. You probably won't, and I don't even suggest that you tape your rehearsals. But if you do, it's good to go back and listen to what you did to see if you can improve upon your technique. And it's good to ask for assistance from people who do know a thing or two, see what you might be doing wrong. Usually you'll find out that you're not doing that much wrong, because 90% of choral teaching is punting, and that's true. And you work in all kinds of ways until you find a way that clicks. That's what you do, and that's true. There's none of you that's going to be the perfect choral conductor that can walk in, just sashay into rehearsal and know exactly how to make it work with that group. Because you have different individuals. And 23 explanations will usually work for 22 of the people. But one explanation will only work for one or two. See? And enough explanations and enough trying it different ways and saying it over and over and over, eventually more and more people are getting it, applying it, and it's making sense. And that's the way it's like in life. That's the way it's like with sermons. I mean, if you start to listen to how much new is coming out of a sermon, how much new we get every year, you could probably compile into about 2 hours. I mean, just the statements. But how much old that we're getting, stuff that we've heard before, is lots of it. That's because we need it. Said in a different way, couched in a different context, results in more people, quote, getting a revelation. You know, you got that revelation from that sermon? But it was about this. I know, but he said that. And you know how it is. Happened to you 100 times, I'm sure. It happens to me all the time. And that's good. That's good. And so repetition and going over the same ground and periodic regression is normal. And feeling like you're the culprit, that you're a failure, that somehow someone else should do the job, am I really cut out for this? Well, the chances are that no, you're not cut out for that, and no, you're not a failure. And will they ever learn? Maybe. maybe not. But at least I'll learn something. And you may have a huge vision and know what they're supposed to sound like. And you may think, well, the only problem is they don't know what they're supposed to sound like. And they've never heard themselves sounding right. Well, in that case, you begin to pray and ask the Lord to send an experience your way. When all of a sudden, sometime it just clicks. And everyone just flows. And it just feels just right. And the sound is magnificent. And it can be an encouragement to them as well as you. That we can make music together. I'll never forget the most remarkable and phenomenal experience I ever had to date at that time, which was 12 years ago. 8 years, 9, 10, 11. How long ago was it, Sandy? It was a long time ago. You were still pretty short. Denise's husband still spoke up here. And he was even shorter than Sandy. So it was a long time ago, back when we lived in the house in Gregory Heights. So music ministry was just starting that summer, and that's old, and a long time ago. And I remember it was 23 of us, and as I mentioned before, we were a pretty motley bunch. And many of you have heard this story before. But during one of the rehearsals one night, our tendency was, we were just learning to sing four part. That's when that was. We're just learning to sing four part, and I was trained musically, and Gary was trained musically, and Molly was trained musically, and that's all. And Mike Sabrin had sung some, and Mark Yokers had sung in choir in the West for a year or two, and could read pretty good. And that was it. I mean, most everybody else was inexperienced. And, I mean, we ranged in age from, I can't remember, were you in that, Joanne, then? And you were pretty young, you were about 14, 15? You were just a kid. Okay, and Rob. And then Lisa Rosner wasn't 14 or 15. She was a bit older. And Lisa was gaining in years, and she was the eldest, and Joanne, I think, was the youngest at the time. And most of us were just young college age, and we weren't real good. And we sang pretty poor. And Amy would pound parts and pound parts, or Gary actually, and Amy would get a sore arm waving it at us and this sort of thing. But our custom after rehearsal was just to sit around and sing songs, choruses, and harmonize. And it usually was pretty poor, pretty sick. But one night, we began singing Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me, or however that goes. And it was in about five or six parts. And I was sitting right in the middle. And we only took three rows. I mean, there weren't very many of us. I sat right in the middle. And sang an a cappella. And I just come a year before from singing one of the finest choirs that did an entire concert a cappella. And knew what it took to do good a cappella singing. And here, this batch of know-nothings, so to speak, and I don't mean that condescendingly, that's really the case, didn't know very much, couldn't sing very good, sat there and sang in five or six part harmony this chorus with the most phenomenal, beautiful phrasing I had ever heard in my life. They attacked absolute precisely together, crescendoed and shaped the phrase perfectly, stopped the phrase perfectly, nobody hanging over, nobody sticking on the wrong consonant, starting the next phrase at the next time. I think we sang it through two, three times like that. And I sat there and laughed and laughed and laughed because I didn't believe that was possible. And frankly, it was been quite a few years since, and I still haven't heard him sing that good. It was phenomenal. It was absolutely phenomenal. I was right in the middle of it. I could hear what they were doing. It wasn't like I was hearing them from outside. You know how walls kind of mellow things out and they sound a lot better? And you come in and get close, it's kind of not so good, you know. This is beautiful. And it was an experience that really encouraged me. And it really encouraged all of us. And it doesn't hurt from time to time to pray the Lord to direct you or to direct us or just send the Spirit from time to time to bring us encouragement. But I said all that to say this.
Let me get back to my point. That when working with a group, it's easy to get bogged down in the technical and doing lots and lots and lots, trying to make the necessary improvements. But it is of absolute necessity that you balance it with spiritual challenges and take them where they are and convince them that they can minister even now. And so you need to, not very far into what you're doing, begin to teach them how to minister a piece of material beyond the notes. Now, usually with choral ministries class, my tendency is to work until you are capable of singing, really singing. Like I've said frequently, and for those of you who've had it before, we're still quite a ways from really making music. So far, you're singing notes together. But really making music, we're a long ways from that. And music is far more than singing the right notes at the same time. Music is the coming together of voices into one voice and shaping a phrase to say something, to communicate something. And most of you know that. And so you need to teach them how to do that. Now, admittedly, you legalists, improper production, poor vocal form, limited musicianship does limit the ability of the ensemble to do that. That's true. However, put in a context where there's nothing to concentrate on and nothing to worry about, but just singing, many people can actually sing far more musically than they would lead you to believe by the way they respond to you in rehearsal. And I think the proof for that is in singing in the Spirit. You get some person really set free singing in the Spirit, and they'll sing very expressively sometimes, far more expressively than if you try to teach them to sing expressively. And so you need to strike a balance, and we're going to work on striking a balance in this class. How to do it, how to challenge, how to get them to give you something that you've never gotten before. Now, music ministry, I must admit, has been very responsive to me when I have done that. I have had to overconduct, I will admit. I am an overconducted conductor. But they do tend to respond. And I realized that last year when I had an opportunity to conduct the junior high school group for about 10 minutes. They were not responsive. Everything and anything I said, they were not responsive. They wouldn't budge. They wouldn't move. They wouldn't do anything. They were just cold and dead. They sang notes simultaneously, but they would not respond. And I have never, in my entire life, ever conducted a group that did not respond. That was a first. And I've conducted a number of groups, a number of good groups, and a number of not so good groups. But everybody's tried to respond a little bit. And that was really a shocking experience. And I realized really how responsive music ministry has been. So usually, if they have some confidence in you, they'll respond to you, especially if you're keeping them challenged and excited about what God is doing in the ministry. So we will take off from here on Friday and discuss this further and do some actual hands-on experience of getting you more excited and singing with excitement. Now, the problem is, as many of you do know how, and maybe you won't be blessed with that situation. But then we'll have an even bigger challenge along the way, which I will leave that as a surprise to bring to you on Friday.
That'll do it.